options at up to 95% hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
All right. When you look at the game last week, probably one of the things that I'm pleased with is our guys were able to overcome some early adversity. I thought our sideline did a really good job of staying locked in. Our players, Tim Keenan in particular, did a really good job on the sideline. Had a conversation with those players afterwards. I kind of brought them and talked to them about how we need to handle things. And then right after Tim got them all together and thought, said the right things at the right time, right? Great leadership is great messaging at the right time. And I thought our players really responded well. Obviously the rushing yards in the first quarter, we had some unacceptable situations. We had two errors. One was a misfit, if you will, just not taking the air out of your gap. And another one was we didn't have a defensive lineman that slanted properly and gave up two explosive runs. We got to create more overlap in the defense in those situations as well. But certainly a nice job the last three quarters from defending their run game. Starting the second half, going a four and out and a three and out, I think was huge. Kind of set the tone for the second half, and then only giving up three explosive plays to our 13 explosives that we were able to create as well. So some of those things are good. We have got to start the game faster on a more consistent level as a defense. Twice this season we have not started games fast. That when you play in the SEC, you cannot let other teams take the momentum early, and then you feel like you're fighting your way back. Credit our guys in the way that they were able to fight, but certainly something that we do not want to build a consistent habit for. So those things have to get fixed. Good teams continue to get better as the season goes on, and that will be the challenge to our guys as we face another good SEC opponent on the road. Missouri is doing a tremendous job right now, particularly on offense. They've got a very potent running game. They've got two running backs that are as good as anybody we have seen the last year and a half here. They break tackles, they're physical, they can make you miss, and then when they get in open space, they've both shown the ability to create explosive plays with their speed. So they present a number of challenges in that regard. I think their quarterback is operating at a very efficient level right now, completing over 75% of his passes. They do a great job of mixing in their run and pass game, and they're very complementary in their play action game and make things look the same as well. And so certainly there's a lot of great things that you see from their offense. It'll be a great challenge for us. It's a faster week being an 11 a.m. kick. Some of those late games that you get on Saturday, you get an extra walkthrough, some of those things being on the road, the time to travel. So it'll be a great challenge for our guys to turn the page to another great SEC opponent. So looking forward to the week ahead and having our players ready to go on Saturday.
Thank you, Coach. Let's start with Chase on the far left.
Two, if I may. One, I want to ask you about London Simmons. Made a couple plays against Vanderbilt, but really didn't get a whole lot of snaps, so it was kind of a flash there from him. And then also with Missouri, in terms of their block, and what do they do up front to spring Ahmad Hardy that y'all need to deal with in practice?
I thought, London continues to show up and does a good job. When you're going in a game where, you know, you have some early adversity, like we talked about. You want to try to keep, you know, your older, experienced players in the game. And certainly, you know, when you look at rotations, there's times where our offense did a really good job of staying on the field. We won the time of possession battle. And so typically you're just naturally going to have more of your starters in the game. And so, you know, Tim was doing a really good job in that situation. And you know, sometimes you're just not going to pull him out as much. But London, certainly, when you go back and you watch the tape, has earned the right to get more playing time. And certainly this week, I would imagine you're going to see more snaps from him. When you look at Missouri's offensive line, I think they've got great scheme. You know, Drink has been running kind of that outside zone scheme since he was at App State. Does a really good job with it. They are able to create seams in the run game through different variations of zone scheme, and they've got some gap schemes that are pretty good. They do a nice job. And their backs, they break tackles. I mean, rarely does the first guy get either one of their first two backs down. And so you gotta swarm to the ball, you gotta gang tackle, you gotta be physical, you gotta put screws on screws. You know what I mean? We talk about surface area being a huge piece to efficient tackling. So if you tackle a big back on, you know, with just your shoulder and you don't put surface area body on body, you know, you're rarely going to make the play. So those are things that, you know, we've got to do at a high level on Saturday.
Let's go to Charlie on the right side.
I know you kind of talked about their run game a little bit, but just with Ahmad Hardy specifically, what stands out about his game?
Yeah, all the things that I just said. I think he's a fantastic back. I think he is very physical. I think he has great patience in the run game. Does a really nice job of making either the first guy miss or breaking the tackle. And then when he's out in space, you know, he can create the explosive play, which, you know, ultimately any great run team, when they're committed to running the football, you know, it's like body blows in a boxing match, right? And those body blows continue to hit, and then all of a sudden you create explosive plays, and that's what they've been able to do efficiently to this point in the season.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, the second half against Georgia and Vandy, I think a total of 7 points that you guys have allowed over those two games. Has there been a common theme in terms of adjustments, or what has been the key there in terms of those adjustments at halftime each time?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially early on in the season, you get a feel for what a team is trying to do. So they've put a body of work on tape, but then specifically for you, you know, for our team, how are they attacking us? And I think, you know, our staff has done a really good job. Our players have done a really good job of taking, you know, really since the Florida State game, of taking the adjustments that we have made on the sideline and at halftime and applying them to the next drive and next series. And if we'll continue to do that, we will make it hard for people as the game goes on, right, to be an efficient offense. And so that's something that we're doing a really good job right now. I think the level of communication for our team, especially being in year two as a defense, you know, just the understanding of coaches is very seamless when we get in there at halftime. The adjustments, we're very efficient with it right now. The communication to the players goes out through position coaches, and then I bring those guys all in and kind of give them the overarching theme again, hit the high points, the things that we need to make sure we defend so we can make people play left-handed. So whatever it is that they show, you know, we are going to make sure that we take away those top 1, 2, 3 things in the game and then see if they can beat us with option 4, 5, and 6.
Katie on the left side.
Justin Jefferson was named SEC Defensive Player of the Week. Just what did you see from him on Saturday? And then really, how have you seen him take advantage of this extra year he was able to get?
Yeah, you know, certainly, you know, I remember when it was sometime around maybe Thanksgiving or something like that when we found out that he was going to have a chance to be eligible. Maybe it was later than that, actually, when I think about it, maybe in December. But you know, that was a special moment. I remember calling Chuck Morrell, you know, at that time, and that was big because we were looking for linebackers out of the portal. In fact, I think it was December. But certainly we were all excited, and I got a chance to call him and let him know that he was going to get to come back for another year, because you knew he was going to affect, you know, have great impact on our defense, you know, in this season. And certainly, you know, Saturday was a great example of that. You know, Justin has a great feel for, you know, just instinctive tracking. He can track the ball really well. And then obviously, you know, he's a very physical player. He is a very fast player. He can create, you know, he can take space away out of ball carriers. Did a really good job. You know, we work creating takeaways every single practice at the beginning of practice. And that exact, I mean, you talk about a textbook, you show exactly what he did in practice that week and exactly what showed up on game day of stripping that ball loose. Well, we do that over and over and over again, and it's just so rewarding, right, for those players to be able to show that, hey, it showed up on game day, right, in a very critical moment. And so very proud of him and the effort that, you know, that he's bringing and the energy he's bringing to our defense. And I think, you know, he'll continue to build off of those things.
Let's go to Joe in the back left.
Coach, what makes the shovel pass such a challenging concept to defend?
Yeah, it is. It's a really challenging concept. I mean, you know, we got hit on it last year against Vanderbilt. It showed up in a couple of different games last year as well. Florida State tried it against us, and we were able to knock it out in that situation. Some of it is there are certain calls that are good, better against the shovel, and some that aren't. And it's a challenge because when you get teams that run shovel plays on third down, you almost have a decision to make with your defensive ends. Are you just going to play on the line of scrimmage and not try to affect the quarterback? Or are you going to do certain things, to try to, you know, create some overlap? We had I think one of the plays, we had a chance to be able to defend it better than what we did. One of the other plays, I thought I made a really tough call for our guys in that situation. But you know, it's a play. I've told you guys this before. Whatever you put on tape, you're going to have to answer for, right? And that's a play that we're going to have to continue to answer for. We work it probably more than we should. So it's disappointing that we gave two of them up. But at the same time, you kind of have to ask, you know, what are you willing to live with a little bit? And I'm not saying that we're going to give up shovels for the rest of the season. I'm okay with that, all right? I don't want our fans hearing that. But what I do want our people to understand, right, is, like, you have to affect the quarterback. And our ability to affect Diego Pavio is what won us the football game. And so sometimes, right, you're going to have those situations where, you know, their counterpunch to that was a shovel play every now and then. We got to do a better job defending it. But certainly there's going to be times where you got to make sure you keep the main thing, which is affect the quarterback in the passing game.
Go to Colin, front left.
Hey, Kane. Well, when you look at Missouri in game plan, what kinds of things carry over in terms of defending the run? Like, do you know whether it's against Bo, option play, things like that? What kind of carries over? What are you encouraging your guys to look at?
Do you mean like from the first five games to what carries over to this game?
I'd say from specifically last, like what worked last week in run defense heading into.
Gotcha. Well, I think anytime you defend like one plus quarterback option style systems, right, where the quarterback has a chance to, you know, run the ball, there's an element of discipline, right, that you have to play with across the board. I think our guys, you know, took some of the mistakes from the first quarter and applied it to the last three quarters of the game from a run game standpoint. There were some schematic adjustments that we made that gave us a chance, you know, that we were a lot more disruptive in the run game as well. And so those are some things that, you know, you want to create some overlap of the defense and you want to, you know, let our guys go play really fast. I didn't think at the beginning of the Vanderbilt game, as much as we stressed it, talking about playing physical, playing fast, not playing on our heels, we still, that first drive of the game, I did not think we were playing very aggressive. I didn't think we were playing very fast. And so, you know, I told our coaches, like, in those situations, like, put the iPads down, take your headset off, and let's make sure that we get our guys playing really fast and physical. And that was, you know, even Tim Keenan doing an example of that. And so when you look at the run game, a lot of it is just the physicality that you have to play with. And I think that's one thing that I want to make sure we keep on the forefront of our players' minds. We will make adjustments. We will have game plans going into each week and what each opponent in the SEC gives us, but at the end of the day, the physicality and violence that we have to play with is the reason why we were able to knock out the run Saturday, and that has to continue.
All right, let's finish up with Alex right in the middle of the room.
Sab was able to make a play, obviously, on Saturday. With Sab and Lawson, given the extended amount of time they were out, what have you sort of seen from them as we've gotten further into the season as far as where they are?
Yeah, I think you look at both those guys, you know, they're continuing to take steps in the right direction. There is an element to, you know, I said it a second ago, good teams get better. Good football players get better as the season goes on. And certainly when you're coming off of an injury, there is a certain level of adjustment period, right, and getting back into the swing of things. I like, you know, Keon is playing at a faster level week in and week out. You know, Deontay, all the communication pieces. Sometimes he doesn't make the play necessarily, so it doesn't show up to you, but to our defense, structurally, all the things that he gives us from a communication standpoint, anticipation, alignments, and getting our guys in position to go execute, I think he's doing that at a really high level right now. And so, I'm excited about those two guys. I'm excited about a number of guys in our defense. But whoever continues to take steps forward will be the ones that, you know, that stand on top of the mountain at the end, right? And those are the teams that ultimately put in the work and the preparation, the week of practice, so that they can show up on Saturday. And that's certainly what we got to do, getting ready to go to Columbia, Missouri on Saturday. All right, thanks, guys. Roll Tide.
Action today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partially sunny, the high 79. Mostly clear tonight, the low 59. And the weather stays dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Ty obviously had another strong performance, but afterwards he kind of took ownership of not only the interception, but the four sacks. Just what does that say about him and his leadership?
He's growing. He's growing into his role, and it was good, you know, to hear him take ownership right after the game, too, because there were certainly some things we left out there on the field. I thought Ty made some incredible off-schedule plays, but just got to make the easy ones, too. So take care of the football is a big part of what we do. And I thought there was a couple plays he obviously put the ball in jeopardy, and we just got to avoid those and eliminate them.
Going to the left side, let's go to Chase.
Overall this season, how would you assess the way the wide receivers and the tight ends have blocked for the run game?
We're getting there. I know the importance of it in this system, that, you know, they're not going to just be out there catching footballs. They got to be part of the blocking scheme. And I know that there's been good unit reinforcement in the meeting rooms and things like that, that they know, you know, what their job is. I think that we lack some details on a couple plays in the blocking schedule on a few of the perimeter plays. So I thought we definitely could have done a better job there. And we will this week. So we got to focus on that a little bit.
Front row on the left here, the Emily Grace.
Coach, we've seen some creative play calls the last three games. I'm curious what your process is for evaluating when to go for something a little more creative and when it's best to be more straightforward.
Well, it typically based on a look. If there's something that we feel pretty strong that we're going to be able to get them into the look that we want, we'll be aggressive on that. If we don't know and there's a little bit in between, we'll probably stay away from it. And then it's also about who the players are and how much you trust them. Because the tough plays and plays like that where you're risking things, you know, they got to be player, you know, like Jeremy Bernard, somebody that you trust. He's going to take care of the football, do the right things. That's what we're looking for.
Go to Nick on the far right.
Yeah, Kirby Moore being a guy you worked with at Fresno, I realize you're not directly going against him, but how have you seen kind of him grow since your time together now that he's an OC?
I think Kirby's one of the best coordinators in the country. I think he does a great job. When we were together, super bright mind, you know, wasn't just pass oriented. I think he's grown a lot, obviously, in the run game. They do a fantastic job running the football. Kirby's awesome. I think he's just going to keep growing. And we were together, what was that, 2017? We started together as position coaches at Fresno, and he coached an elite group of receivers out there, and really prided himself on detailed execution of his guys. And so not surprised to see him having a lot of success.
Going to the back left, let's go Joe.
Coach, we didn't see Jaden Roberts on Saturday. We're just wondering if anything went into that decision. And what have you seen from Wilkin moving from right tackle to right guard in various situations?
Yeah, Jaden's still working his way back onto the field. You know, last week I thought was a big step for him. You know, he's progressing nicely, you know, in practice and things like that. So really expect him to be able to make a contribution this week. And then as far as Wilkin goes, still growing at guard, you know, gave up a sack on the one on the inside. Thought, you know, Ty probably could get rid of the ball, but I think Wilkins just still trying to come into his own in there. But he had some really, really nice plays as far as on mid zone and things like that on the inside. So still just trying to work the depth of the roster at all those spots and get guys into their best position.
Colin on the front left.
Kind of going back to Charlie's question, but you've seen kind of the national attention kind of uptick for Ty Simpson over the past few weeks. I'm curious, as he continues to grow and as he, but also as he continues to get praise, how have you seen him handle that and kind of, yeah, just through that process?
Yeah, just, you know, quarterback in general should be, you know, deflect, you know, take all the praise away and, you know, take all the blame. And I think Ty's doing a good job of that. And he's a humble guy. You know, when you talk to him and he understands all the improvement, because I think what Ty sees, which is really encouraging, is that I don't even know what he threw, 300 and some yards, whatever he threw for. He can come into a meeting room and accept, you know, and have an open mind to all the things that he could have done better, you know, and really focus more on his process and what it's going to take to play his best game, you know, because we got every week we're going to play a really good opponent. So he knows he's just got to keep building that armor and understand how to, you know, make himself a little less vulnerable in a few of those situations and then capitalize in some of the, you know, unbelievable plays he makes out of the pocket, you know, when he's off schedule. So I think Ty is, he just grows every single week, you know, practice, games, all that, just like any quarterback that's starting out. So I think, you know, sky's the limit for him.
Let's go to Mike in the back.
Jam mentioned that you challenged the backs last week. Just what did that consist of and how do you think they responded?
Well, I definitely think they respond. I think, you know, some of the things are, you know, missed tackles forced is something that we've, you know, been trying to address and try to get better at. You know, our job is to try to get the running backs on a defensive back one-on-one. And we had a couple missed tackles forced in the game. So I think that part, and then just being really, really sound on their pass protection, which Jam is all the time. I mean, he is as solid as they come in there and understanding both scheme and, you know, just being physical at the point of attack. So for us, I think Jam kind of setting the tone there and really wanting to show that we can run the football was something that he took very personal.
Let's finish up with Katie on the left side.
The kicking game has been 2 of 5 on field goals of 40 yards or more. So kind of as an offensive coordinator, how does that affect your strategy when y'all are on that side of the field and maybe on third and fourth down?
Score more touchdowns, yeah, for sure. It was disappointing, to be honest. I thought our red zone execution was poor, something we got to work at a lot. We can't put ourselves in those positions to count on another part of the football team to take care of our business. So for us, we still got to follow the script and understand we can't press in those moments, but certainly, you know, our opportunities there, we had done a really nice job the previous 2 weeks down the red zone. And so to see ourselves take a step back like that was just...
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa...
When you order. So whatever the size of your appetite...
There's always something delicious waiting for you here at Taco Casa.
Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. 393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. And online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama Beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Hey, solid Tuesday. How you guys doing? It's fun. I mean, I feel like I have a high ceiling considering I haven't gotten a lot of reps at it. So I'm just excited, like, each day, week to week, game to game, trying to show my improvements on the field to my coaches.
When did you start working at guard?
I started working at guard during the bye week, so a couple of days before the Georgia game.
Just what's different about playing guard and tackle?
Everything's a lot faster, but luckily we have a lot of experienced guards here to help me out. So I spent time with some of the older guys, and I just chop it up with them, figure out what some things that they see. We got a lot of offensive line coaches as well, so just getting that coaching is useful.
Yeah, your first time playing guard.
Yeah, it actually is my first time playing guard.
For a taller guy like you, is there a challenge maybe when you're in a tighter space there?
There is, but it's also a blessing to have long arms because a lot of those guys, they're not as lengthy, so it helps out to have long arms. Mm-hmm. Just got to keep your pass down and stuff.
Do you feel like this is the deepest offensive line since you've been here? Just how many guys you have been rotating in?
I'll definitely say so since I've been here. I mean, we got a lot of older guys, and then we also have some younger guys stepping up into some big roles and helping out. So it is a good feeling having a lot of guys that are capable of contributing.
On that note, is it maybe the most versatile or most athletic? Because you've got guys catching passes, you're moving in and out. Like, it's kind of a really, you know, complex.
It definitely is a versatile group. I would say, yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Speaking of versatility, what are your thoughts on Peyton Crocker and just everything that he's been able to do?
I mean, that's my best friend. That's my roommate. We've been best friends since we got here. So as far as Cam Proctor, like, is whether it's dunking a basketball or playing in the backyard with my little sister. Like, he's just a good athlete, and he just loves to fly around.
Are any of the other O-line campaigning for some offensive touches like he's getting, or is that?
I think that he's just doing so good at it that there's no room for any other guys. But I tell people all the time, it's a big enough responsibility to block. I don't want the ball. Yeah. Let me just block.
What's the craziest athletic thing you've seen him do? You're around him a lot.
I'll say eat a Chipotle bowl in 40 seconds. I'll see him do that. Triple.
What's it mean to you to have you, William Sanders, and Kevin Riley all contributing to the offense, being local guys?
It definitely means a lot, and we've actually had time talking about that, especially me and Will being in the same room talking about, like, doing community outreach things, because we both have big hearts to serve in our community, and whether it's going to be next year doing football camps together, giving away toys on Christmas, or raising money for food on Thanksgiving. We've had a lot of conversations together just about our community.
What do you think it does for the football players that are playing in the community to see you three doing that?
I hope they look up to it, because I mean, I remember growing up just like wanting the opportunity to play for Alabama, looking up to any player, much less somebody from Tuscaloosa. I remember like Brian Robinson, looking up to him because he's a guy, he went to Hillcrest. So just seeing like somebody from Tuscaloosa do it big is exciting.
It's less common, I guess, maybe in today's transfer era. Is it important to have local guys, not just even Alabama guys, but like people that are, you know, grew up here?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, like, with local guys is, like, when we take the field versus Auburn, LSU, Tennessee, I remember growing up, like, sitting on the couch, like, screaming at the TV when I'm 4 years old, 5 years old, like, in elementary school, like, just getting into it, and that rivalry is so strong that, like, when I take the field, it's almost a little emotional being able to go against those teams because I got a real sense of a rivalry in my heart.
How much are you recruiting at? Forgive me, I forget the guy's name, but the kid from Hillcrest, the commit.
The linebacker?
Yeah, linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, so I actually went against him my senior year when he was a freshman. So I don't know him a whole lot, but, like, I reached out to him. One thing that I do know about him, he's one of the hardest workers I ever seen. Like, I always see him working, training, and stuff like that. And so I remember when he committed, just texting him and his trainer, like, that's motivating to see a kid work so hard. He's earned it.
With so many guys rotating, how do you make sure, or what's kind of the mindset shift if it's not a pity party, if I'm not getting somebody reps that I want just across the whole O-line group?
I think this year the group's done a great job of that. Like, nobody has, like, the poor me's or moping around. We have team victories, team success. And, like, when we're on the sideline and, like, one of the guards is out and they're watching Cam Dewberry dump somebody, like, we're the biggest fans supporting them and we're cheering. Or if Michael Carroll lays down a big block, I'm excited because it's a team victory, and that's how we approach this.
Is that maybe more unique to this season? Not even on the offensive line, but in other positions like receiver and running back, where they're kind of sharing roles a lot more?
Yeah, I just think, like, the way our team is and the way it's trending is just, like, such a brotherhood. And I think that Coach DeBoer and Coach Blue this offseason put a huge emphasis on that. And especially Parker Brailsford trying to get some unity in our room and stuff, doing things off the field, has really helped our brotherhood.
So what did that touchdown feel like? The last touchdown this past week, finishing big touchdown run.
I mean, it's so exciting. Another thing I think back to is, like, when we were playing, I think, ULM, when guys like AKD are getting this big run, his first big run, like, almost ran on the field and got a flag because I'm so happy for a kid like that who comes in and works hard every day. So it's just such a strong brotherhood. We love to see each other eat.
Y'all are in the middle of a stretch of four ranked opponents, and then there's gonna be two more after that. Just how do you kind of stay locked in on the week to the week and not look ahead?
I just think the biggest thing is, like you said, staying week to week. Like, we have a big task on our hands, a great opponent in Missouri. We're going to Missouri. They got a strong defense, strong running game, and we're excited to take on that challenge. And we're kind of just focused week to week. We're not looking ahead at all.
What do you see in Missouri's defensive line? I think they're number one in total in rushing defense.
Yeah, they have a solid defense, but you can't sleep on their pass rushers either. They got three or four great rushers defensively, so they got a solid group up front.
Do you feel like you guys turned the corner as a run offense, though, after?
I feel like there's a huge room for improvements. I think that we did some good things, but I think that we have a lot of room for improvements, and I think Coach Capp's doing a great job busting his tail, getting us to where we need to be.
Is there more pride as a running game, maybe at the guard position, than at the tackle? Or is it?
Honestly, yeah, a little bit, because it's just like, I don't know, when you're inside that box, you just feel a little, like, nastier playing guards. It's kind of fun. You kind of get to bang around with guys like Parker Brailsford and players like that.
What has William Sanders done to get on the field?
he's done a great job. Like, the biggest thing for him is, like, next rep mentality. That's what it is for a lot of young guys. Even I'm still battling that. Like, whenever you're on the field at practice or the game and something doesn't go your way, you've got to quick transition to the next play. Go 1-0, like Coach LeBoer says, because if you let one bad play snowball into a bigger play, it's going to be bad. But he's just worked so hard in the weight room, understanding the playbook. And then when it was his time to step up, he did. And he stepped up for the moment.
What are your thoughts on the Ty Simpson for Heisman campaign?
I mean, I think Ty's doing a great job. I'm so proud of him. He came in a year before me, so I've gotten to see him wait his turn, and his faith is a big role to him, and it is to me. And so just talking through that with him, I'm just so proud of him.
What are your thoughts on the Caden Proctor for Heisman campaign?
I mean, I'll be the number one supporter. I think that he's easily one of the most athletic players in college football.
Do you think being a morning team will help y'all with the 11 a.m. kick?
I definitely think it won't hurt us being a morning team, practicing in the morning, getting up, eating breakfast, having your stomach adjusted to it, becoming morning people, stuff like that. I think that's definitely a good benefit for the game.
A lot of people cited the defense looked a little last year, probably since that Georgia game. I'm interested in practice. Have you seen them kind of flip the switch a little? Do they translate to the game?
I think that our defense has done a great job this whole offseason, just like bringing that mentality. But I definitely think that as the season's gone on, they brought that physical defense.
That's two.
What did the offense, the O-line, learn from that Georgia game, just playing in a tougher environment that y'all can take into these next quarter games?
I think the biggest thing that speaks is, like, our brotherhood. Like, we had a great job communicating, staying in tune with one another. And then also, like, if guys are rotating in, like, we're supporting each other and we just want a good team victory. But being able to go on the road in a loud, hostile environment, being able to communicate and stuff like that was big, especially with some guys like my first time playing guard, Mike's first time playing, Will's first time playing, really. So just being able to communicate was big.
What's your morning routine?
Wake up, get up here at 6. I get up here at 6 a.m. every day to start eating because my stomach's a little uneasy in the morning, so I gotta eat a lot. And then my dietitians are on me about what, like, making sure I'm drinking enough because I sweat a tremendous amount.
What do you like to eat in the morning?
Usually scrambled eggs, grits, bacon, pancakes. Then I gotta drink like 3 or 4 like Gatorades, Propels, and Pedialytes.
How much of the team's on grits? Yeah.
I don't know.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to do keys to victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. Our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, joins us all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-39.
Riverside Feed and Seed, Hammond's Rack and Reel, Sniper Supply, Banks and Company Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, and Primetime Meds Clinic.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with 2 locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. 2051. Again, that's Brian Harden Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more other language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partially sunny, the high 79. Mostly clear tonight, the low 59. And the weather stays dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 76 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
I mean, in the moment, it was just, I was just glad, you know, we were able to continue to move the ball, and I was mostly focused on the drive. You know, it's a part of football, whether they give me the call or not, it is what it is, but really just trying to do what's best for the team and just keep going with the drive, so it's fine.
You've been making some tough catches in fielding this year especially. What's been kind of mindset there, and what were you thinking as you're going in, making catches inside or making catches in tight windows?
Really just trying to do his best for the team because, you know, every ball that goes in the air, of course, you know, I'm going to try to make that play for my quarterback, for my teammates. So really just focusing on being in the moment and really just trying to focus on the ball instead of, like, what my next move is.
What are you doing to try and eliminate some of the drops?
Really just continuing to, you know, stay on the jugs machine, continue to do the extra stuff, catching rugby balls, tennis balls, you know, just focusing in on the ball and not the next move, like I said, because, you know, trying to be the receiver that I want to be, I have to catch the ball before I can do all the extra stuff.
Is it just a mental thing? Because, I mean, we just talked about how you were making these great catches. Like, is it purely mental on that side?
1,000%, yeah.
What sort of things is Shep talking to you about?
Really just catching the fat of the ball, focusing in on the ball because, you know, I can't do anything without it. So, you know, just catching it first.
So what are you doing mentally? You talk about the physical things you're doing, but how do you kind of work the mental game of it?
It's a child's game, so it's really simple. Really just looking the ball all the way to the tuck. I mean, that's pretty much all I can do.
Have you talked with anybody like that's dealt with it before? I'm sure you've got a whole network of people that you talk with. Have you reached out to anybody that maybe has had those kind of problems?
Nah, really just trying to focus on myself and, you know, just really just eliminate the problem. Just focusing in on that week. I mean, we know we have a pretty tough schedule up ahead, but, I mean, we got to focus in on today's Tuesday practice and how we can get better today, how we can get better tomorrow, Wednesday, you know, just focusing in on where our feet are.
What do you see from Missouri's offense?
Super explosive offense, 500 yards. Their defense is really good as well. They play Great team ball. They have the longest time of possession in the SEC. So, you know, just understanding that when we get on the field, we got to maximize that time because, I mean, they're going to run their offense. So, really just trying to take advantage whenever we're on the field.
What's it like being a receiver when Pi's kind of seeing things like that last drive before the half where he's just pretty much automatic? What's it like as a receiver knowing that your quarterback's just seeing the
field? Really just a blessing, you know, to have a guy that, you know, you know, when a bullet's flying, when in the heat of the moment, he's calm and, you know, just understanding I got to make the play for him so we can keep it going because I know he's going to be hot.
What's been working so well with that team offense?
Really hard. Definitely, we've been focusing on it every day, every week during practice and, you know, just being ready when those moments come because, you know, it's easy to, like, not take advantage of the moment, but whenever you do it week in and week out, you know, is automatic pretty much.
What have you seen from Missouri's defensive backs?
Really, some they play well in the defensive scheme. So you know they're physical guys. They're gonna do their job and they're gonna come up and tackle. They just, I mean, they play well in their system.
Is there a specific DB that stands out?
I mean, all of them are very good. You know, and they play well as a group.
How much does Jeremy help your game? It almost seems like you guys have two number one receivers. What's the identity like between that?
Definitely 1,000%. We definitely got, I mean, we might have more than two receiver ones, if I'm being honest, and really just feeding off of each other. And if one's down, the other one's up, you know, just continuing to, and then when we're both hot, you know, you see what that could be this past weekend, but it's really just, it's awesome to have a guy, you know, that I can depend on week in and week out.
Caden Proctor, missing plays. What do you think of that?
I mean, he's just a dog. You can put him anywhere on the field and he's going to get the job done. So, yeah.
What do you think
of
his hands?
Have
you guys talked about it all?
I mean, he told me he had better hands than me. And, I mean, he 100% on the catch ratio, so he might.
Last call for Ryan.
What are you looking to improve on these next few weeks compared to last year?
Really just eliminating the drops and doing what's best for the squad so we can get more W's. I appreciate y'all. Real talk.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Monsi Bolaños.
Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies put on a show in L.A.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber. And with a lightning strike, the Phillies tie it up at one.
You just heard it on the Phillies radio network. Schwarber actually homered twice, and the Phillies crushed the Dodgers 8-2 to force a game four tomorrow. The Blue Jays are headed to the ALCS for the first time since 2016 after defeating the Yankees 5-2 in game four. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said he expects to be back next year because he's under contract. The Cubs kept their season alive with a 4-3 win over the Brewers. Game four is tomorrow on the ice. The Kings edged the Golden Knights 6-5 in a shootout, and the Flames beat the Oilers 4-3 in a shootout, but Leon Draisaitl has reached 400 career goals.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller. Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Central on ABC. To get a question in for Coach, please use the raise hand function. And Coach, while we wait on those questions, if you could take a moment to comment on your team as you prepare for this week's home game versus Alabama.
Yeah, I just want to first say I want to pass my sympathies and condolences to the family of Mark Womack. You know, Mark was an outstanding ambassador for the SEC and a great man. I fondly remember him encouraging me throughout my time, especially my first 3 years here, just encouraged me with the progress of our team. He always would joke with me because I was mad my first year of COVID. He, you know, I blamed him for scheduling LSU and Alabama in my first 3 weeks. And when we beat LSU, he called me on Sunday and said, "Hey, am I going to get some thank yous because I scheduled your first win as the head coach at the University of Missouri?" So, just wanted to say how special of a person Mark Womack was, and I think it's fitting that we're playing Alabama this week. I know he's a Alabama grad, and so anyway, I'll bypass talking about my team and open it up for questions.
Thank you, Coach. Womack got a kick out of your comments thanking him in media days this summer, by the way. We'll begin with Colin Gay of the Tuscaloosa News.
Hey, Eli. I'm sure you've gotten this question before, but I'm with all of the success that you guys have had in terms of, you know, time of possession and being at the top of college football. Is that something that you preach to your offense, or is that just an indicator of your offense running the way you want it to?
Yeah, I think it's a byproduct of a lot of different things. I think time of possession is execution of third downs, being able to stay on the field. I think it's your defense's ability to force three and outs. You know, we've had three opponents that we were able to pretty much overwhelm on the defensive side of the ball, which has skewed the statistics of our team. We understand that this is going to be a totally different style of game, totally different matchup. So we're not relying on that to be a focal point for the game. What the focal point for the game is going to be is our ability to stay on the field on third downs, which we were not able to do last year, or get off the field on third downs against, you know, a quarterback who's playing as a high level as there is in the country.
Perfect. Thank you. Next is Neil Blackman of Saturday Down South.
Eli, thanks for taking the time today. Do you all kind of, I mean, you guys are 25-5 in your last 30. I don't think you've lost at home in 2 years. As a program, do you kind of relish the fact that, you know, I feel like if Alabama or Georgia were doing that, it would be front page news. And, you know, kind of, is there a little Mizzou type mentality? And talk about that maybe in context of this opportunity Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're only as good as your next opportunity. So we don't sit here and pat ourselves on the back because what we've accomplished in the past. I mean, all we're looking for is what lies ahead. And you know, like I said, there's no reason to beat our chest about it. It's something that we've accomplished. But I think our whole football team, organization, fan base is really only worried about what we do this Saturday at 11 a.m. versus top 10 team in the country. We don't really concern ourselves with the opinions of others. It does you no good. I can't sit there and complain about it when it's not what we want, and I can't sit there and drink the Kool-Aid when it's positive. So at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't affect us one way or the other.
Thanks, Coach.
No problem.
Next is Nathan King of Auburn Undercover.
Hi, Eli. A bit of a different question here. They're retiring Cam Newton's jersey this Saturday at Auburn. And I just wanted to ask, you know, with you having been on staff that season, sort of behind the scenes, what you remember? And I guess maybe was there a moment where you kind of knew he was going to be a different guy for Auburn that season?
Oh, man. I think the first thing that I always tell people about Cam Newton, he was a transformational leader before I even knew what that word was. He was the best leader I've ever been around in a football locker room. He's a guy that could command everybody, not just through holding people accountable, but also creating light moments, making sure people were enjoying practice and having fun. You know, I think if you went back and look, I'm not sure many people would say Coach Malzahn had fun at practice, but yet Cam found a way to make it fun. And I think his transformational leadership obviously led us to the national championship. Is there a specific time that I thought, oh man, this guy's going to do something elite? I mean, there's so many different moments, whether it was the Arkansas State supposed to be a naked, he takes it 90 yards, whether it's against Clemson where we're down 17-3 at half and he takes over the second half, whether it's the Superman run versus South Carolina, whether it's LSU game where he just runs them down. You know, I remember in the fourth quarter versus Arkansas, Coach Malzahn getting on the headsets saying, Cam's tired, we're in trouble, and he wasn't too tired to finish. I think we ended up scoring 62 that game. So I think there's just so many special moments. But when I think of Cam Newton, I really don't think about any of those plays. I think about a transformational leader in that locker room.
Thank you, Eli.
Next is Steve Moulton, WZZN.
Hey, Coach, how are you today?
Good.
Given how you started, I cannot help but think about your first game was against Alabama in that COVID year. And I remember the testing and all of that. But given now fast forwarding to today, if you could look back on that first game and really that first season for you, how difficult was it to kind of build your foundation that you now have there in Columbia, Coach?
Well, I think it was a starting block of building a brotherhood. There was a lot of challenges. Everybody had challenges, and then you had to compound it with COVID and whether or not you were going to play. I think the one thing that we did, you know, we overachieved that year. I think there was a lot of people thought we would go winless. We went 5-5. I think we finished 6th or 7th in the SEC that year. So there's a lot of positives from that. You know, I think about that game. That might have been one of the best Alabama teams of all time. I mean, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Mack was the quarterback. I can't even think about all the defensive players they had just choking us out. So, that was a good team. That was a good football team.
And given what I've seen out of both you and Alabama, putting a big guy in the backfield and seeing that on a game day, what does that do, maybe even a practice or especially on a game day, of giving a big guy a football, Coach?
I mean, to each their own. You know, I've done it before. We did it at Arkansas State. You know, it's got to be the right personnel, the right player. So, you know, it ain't the first or the last time we'll see it. I know everybody gets excited about it, but it is what it is.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach, thank you for your time today.
Hey, can I ask Kalen the first question, or is that inappropriate? Because I just want to know if he's going to wear that black hoodie or not. I call it the hoodie.
Actually, I would anticipate everyone on the call would probably vote yes for that.
Well, there you go. So the hoodie of death is what, I guess, I don't know. Is that the new name that they're calling it, or is that what Coach Eli Drinkwitz has labeled it? Appreciate you guys being a little patient with us today. I'm clearly under the weather. I'm sure you guys can tell by my voice. So I needed to take a little bit of time this morning, try to get my gears together, which should be good enough to rock out the rest of the show. But we just got done hearing from Eli Drinkwitz right there on his teleconference call from yesterday. And we still have to listen to Kalen DeBoer, so we'll do that. But we will talk some Alabama. Obviously, we just heard plenty about Missouri. Getting to know them a little bit more from their side of things ahead of this matchup. But we'll look forward to talking a little bit more Alabama here coming up after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Customers, try Quo for free at quo.com/try and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's quo.com/try. quo.com/try.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. We'll see if I can make it through these next 40 minutes or so, see if my voice will hold up. Again, I'm a little under the weather, but we're trying to push through this second hour to, I don't know, get you guys up to speed with everything going on leading up to this matchup against Missouri this weekend. Again, Saturday, 11 a.m. kick. It's an early one. Chase, let me ask you, when you're a little under the weather, man, what do you know? What's your normal remedy? I'm normally like, I try to do stuff. How do you explain this? I don't take a whole bunch of medicine. So I normally try to have like little natural things, like tea. I'd do like lemon, honey, tea type stuff. And I feel like you're going to like this one, man. Gumbo. I like to make gumbo. As a matter of fact, that's what I made to try to help kind of get some of this congestion out of me. I know you got the Louisiana Thai, so I'm sure you're a big fan of that, but what's your go-to remedy? Maybe you got something for me that I haven't thought of yet.
You know me too well, man. The fact that you said gumbo is actually insane, Christian. Being a Cajun boy, I love making gumbo when I'm sick. It's the remedies that come from it, the nutrients and how spicy it is. It clears up a lot. I love vitamin C. Vitamin C is probably the most underrated when it comes to being sick. And then really it's weird. I like to take cold showers just every so often throughout the day. I don't know what it does to my body, but it clears up a lot. There's some other remedies. I'm trying to think, Christian. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. No, I just was curious, man. I've heard somebody say something about chewing on, is it like a garlic clove or something crazy?
I've heard about that too.
Yeah, I just was like, I feel like that's a little much, man. I mean, like an actual like garlic clove. And I was like, I don't think I want to try that. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's interesting. You mentioned the cold showers. I take cold showers as well. Normally try to just finish on cold. I used to like finish on cold. Like I'll take a regular shower, then finish on cold. And then I started just doing straight cold showers for a while. Then I was kind of missing like the relaxing part of just a nice hot shower, you know, from like a, you know, physical standpoint, kind of relax your muscles. It's not bad to finish on cold, but I say that to say it's interesting you said that while you're sick, because I always thought it was the opposite. I took a step back from the cold because I thought for me it almost made my sinuses more stopped up. But that's interesting for you that it does opposite. But I will say they do say cold showers are supposed to, you know, increase your body's defense mechanism, right? Like your why am I drawing a blank, man? Your immune response, right? Your immune system is supposed to strengthen that. So maybe you're doing it in like real time practice. It's like you take a cold shower and you build up your strength like in that moment. For me, it was always kind of opposite, but that's interesting. I don't know. Maybe I'll try chewing on some garlic cloves if it's not clearing up anytime soon. That being said, we heard from Eli Drinkwitz before we hopped on here. A couple of things, and one of them has nothing to do with Alabama. They asked him about Cam Newton. Number one, I didn't realize they were retiring Cam Newton's jersey at Auburn. And maybe I'm out of the loop, but I thought there was a whole deal with that kid. They got a recruit that was wanting to wear that number. I think Cam said no. So I guess maybe they just go ahead and retiring it. I don't know, but I didn't. That was news to me. That is pretty cool. But then, too, I didn't realize Eli Drinkwitz was on staff. It's kind of crazy when you hear all these connections, Chase, at least for me. Now, I know, like, the team that I was on in 2015, we had, I mean, literally, I feel like almost probably 70% of the assistant coaches that year have gone on to be head coaches or are still currently head coaches. So that's one thing. But I feel like it's crazy, like, other coaches that you just wouldn't even know or expect, how everybody just happened to, it's like, it just shows you, like, the coaching community is really pretty small. Like, everybody's got ties to somebody or some program. And just like right now, Missouri has a lot of ties to Alabama's current staff. And I'm finding out Eli Drinkwitz was at Auburn with Cam Newton. But anyway, that was interesting to hear that. I didn't realize they were retiring his number, but that's pretty cool. Shout out to Cam. They probably should have chose a different weekend. Obviously, they're facing Georgia this weekend. So probably would have chose a game that you feel a little bit more secure about getting a win. But I don't know. I guess that's irrelevant. And it says something here that I'm reading. It's ahead of, I guess, Cam Newton's 31st birthday, maybe. I don't know. But congrats to him. That's big time, man. They're retiring the deuce at Auburn. But, yeah, I swear there's a kid that wanted to wear it, but he basically shut him down and said no. But it's good that Auburn is showing Cam some love. Like I said, I think I told you guys this a while back, but the relationship with him and Carolina is interesting. You would think a guy like that would have, like, a great relationship with Carolina, again, leading them to a Super Bowl. We all know about the fumble, right? The infamous fumble that he didn't jump on, and everybody, you know, everybody has an opinion on that. But still, for what he did for that organization, man, it's kind of crazy that things are a little rocky. But obviously, his Auburn family is showing him plenty of love. The other thing from Eli Drinkwitz, right, was him mentioning the black hoodie. It seems that everybody's catching on to Coach DeBoer and the whole black hoodie thing. It's kind of funny how it started off as not really a meme, but it's actually picking up steam. And I don't know, man. Hopefully it continues to work. If not, I don't know what we're going to change to, like, what's going to be our lucky thing for, I guess, the rest of the year. But right now, the black hoodie is definitely very successful. In terms of a couple other things to dive into, I think we did play, and I don't know if we got to it. If not, no worries. But I know Greg McElroy, he always does his breakdowns each week, and he always has some interesting stats and facts. And in terms of this game coming up, I talked about Missouri's best chance defensively. I really am feeling like their pass rush has to be that key for them. And after listening to Greg do his breakdown, it's evident that that's kind of what they've been relying on, that front. Their edge guys, which I was curious about this, their pressure rate. I know they're, you know, I think responsible for about 5.5 sacks together, but they actually the top two edge guys in terms of pressure rate in the conference, right? So that's obviously a big deal. When you turn on the tape, you definitely see those guys being active. But I didn't realize they had the two top edge guys in terms of pressure rate in the country. So definitely said that was going to be a key going into this game. But after learning of those statistics, I definitely feel that way even more, right? And it's going to be an interesting task. Obviously, our offensive line has been playing some good football. We've seen the emergence of Michael Carroll at right tackle, which, I mean, you know what's interesting, Chase? We still have that rotation going on, and this is week, this would be, what, our sixth game? I don't know if I've ever seen this type of competition go this far into the season, man, especially at a position like offensive line. I mean, it's definitely very different than what I'm used to. I know last year, you know, we saw the rotations in the secondary, but that's what, you know, secondary is one thing. Some, you have different packages, right? You're trying to get fresh legs at times. I mean, I can understand that, but offensive line is so interesting. And if you look at the snap count, Chase, I mean, this isn't like they're putting a guy in for a couple plays, trying to just see what he, I mean, this, I'm, we're talking, I mean, guys are splitting it almost even like 30 reps, 30 reps, 30 reps, but it's really coming along the right side. I say that to say, I'm curious to see what unit they go with and if they continue to do the rotating on that side, given that you know you're going into a game. This is probably going to be your biggest challenge in terms of the front that you're facing. I thought Florida State had a decent defensive front, but Georgia, not what we probably anticipated. And I guess Wisconsin's was decent. But I would argue that these guys, at least they're edge guys, then I think Seven's a good player as well. I would say this is probably the best front we've seen, right? Other teams we've played prior pretty close, but in terms of just the two guys off the edge alone, this would be a good challenge. But I think the good news is with that rotation, a guy like Michael Carroll, I mean, look, if they feel confident, I feel like they have every right to. I mean, we've seen him not just in one game, but several games, and not just any game. I mean, we saw him play against Georgia. We've seen him play against some real competition. So if it was me, I'll be honest with you, Chase. I'm at the point where I almost feel like if you feel like he's the best guy, just go ahead and let him roll at this point. I would almost try to, I don't know. Maybe they feel like there's still some science within the whole rotating piece on the offense line. Personally, I just feel like if you feel confident in the guy, just go ahead and give him that spot. I mean, if you need to switch back at some point, you always can do that. But I don't know. The other thing that was interesting to me was the fact that not only do you switch Michael Carroll in at right tackle, but then you, instead of just taking Will Conformby out, they're working him at right guard. And that was interesting to me because you've already had several names there, right? I mean, you've had, if you look at it, obviously Vandermark, he was filling in for Robertson, who had been out. And we hadn't really seen Robertson too much, but I mean, we've seen young guys in there. Will Sanders has been getting some snaps. I can't remember. I mean, I think I've seen him on the left side, but I can't remember if he's been on the right side as well. What I'm getting at is they rotate a lot of people at right guard, which is really interesting, especially at this point in the year. But I don't know. We'll see how that continues to work. But when you're going up against a good front, you obviously need your best guys on the field, and hopefully they can come up with that. Going on with Missouri's defense, just some more things I picked up just by watching them. Does feel a little similar to what we do defensively. They do run a lot of single high. They play man coverage. They do a nice job disguising things. But I will say they've given up a number of plays. And then really, if you look at the competition they played, they haven't faced anybody as talented as our receiver room. And if I'm being completely honest with you, I mean, I don't even think it's close. That being said, I'm very confident we're going to have a big day through the air, given that we can protect up front. To me, I feel like when I look at this game, at least from like an offensive perspective, I feel like the game plan kind of resembles what I felt about the whole Georgia thing. If you can protect Ty, keep him clean, I fully expect him to have a big day through the air. Now, obviously, you're going on the road again, and obviously you got to be prepared for that hostile environment, knowing that it's going to be a little tough. Offense is going to have that challenge ahead, but they handled it well when it came to Georgia. I fully expect that to carry over into this game. But I think that leads me to this other question that I've been having. Is it time that we see a little bit of a slump, right? And I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm saying more so in the fact, like, you played Georgia, you played Vanderbilt, you played two really good games, back-to-back, high-emotion games. Is this that first one that we see them kind of come back to reality a little bit and maybe have a couple struggles here and there? I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but something tells me that could potentially be it, you know, knowing that this is a good team. And then the last thing I want to hit real quick before we hit this timeout is I keep hearing people talk about trap game or throwing that out. I just, my thoughts on that, don't think it's a trap game. I don't consider a ranked game a trap game by any means, really, especially given, I mean, this team that you're playing is undefeated. I know they haven't played anybody, but still, I mean, they're a good football team, right? I mean, they have one of the top, if not the best running back in the country, top ranked rushing attack in the country, or at least number three, right? Averaging almost 300 yards a game. Statistically, right, they do show the number, what, one rushing defense in the conference, top two defense in the conference. So for people calling it a trap game, I'm not too sure where that's coming from. I feel like maybe they're still going off of what they thought going into the year, because I know some people kind of looked at this game ahead of this, you know, ahead of the season, looking at where it fell, you know, after going to Georgia, playing a Vanderbilt at home, then traveling to Missouri. But where it stands right now, personally, I don't feel like it's a trap game. I'm curious what you guys think. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but personally, I wouldn't call it a trap game. That's just me. But that being said, let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We do need to listen to head coach Kalen DeBoer, who spoke during his teleconference yesterday as well. Plus, we'll keep giving a little bit more of a breakdown as we roll into tomorrow, which again will be Prediction Friday. I know one person said they had it on the YouTube, but I didn't have it written down. I tried to go back and I didn't see it. I'm still going to try to find that, but you still have a chance to be our, I guess, somewhat first winner on those predictions tomorrow. So make sure you guys are ready for that. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the Zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Alabama football is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Two Dimes, Taco Casa, Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa.
Qualify for, call 800-836-3388, 800-836-3388. Again, that's 800-836-3388.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partially sunny, the high 79. Mostly clear tonight, the low 59. And the weather stays dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Obviously, I'm having a tough time talking, so why don't we hear somebody else talk? Let's go to head coach Kalen DeBoer while he spoke during his SEC coaches teleconference yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
Central on ABC. For questions for coach, use the raise hand function, and coach, while we wait on those questions, if you could take a moment to comment on your squad as you prepare for this week's game at Missouri.
Yeah, you bet. Like how our team has put together, you know, some good games here at the start of SEC schedule. We got to keep doing it. It, you know, gets harder and harder and each and every week just because, you know, the team you're playing, but also what it means. And so, like the mindset of our guys, they got a workmanlike mentality coming each and every day to the facility and for practice, and going to have to play our best, certainly against Missouri this week. Coach Drinkwitz done an awesome job, you know, building this program over years, but this team in particular, explosive and playing team football at its best.
Coach, we'll begin with Charlie Potter of Battle Online.
Yeah, hey, Coach. When we were talking to Ty Simpson yesterday, he spoke really highly of Josh Cuevas, saying he has some of the best ball skills he's ever seen, but also how he's willing to put his face mask into people like he's 6'7". Just what have you thought the way that Josh has really started the season here for you guys?
Yeah, Josh has just been really steady for us all year. Would have expected that just because knowing him here for a few years now, and he's very diverse for us. You know, the ball skills exactly is on point with what Ty said. We trust him. He knows the offense. He works hard to make sure he understands the details of his responsibility. He's
really come along as a leader on our team. And, you know, the physicality off the ball has always been there. And I think just through strength and putting on some size the last, you know, year and a half, he's really become a good on the ball tight end too. And so, you know, you don't have to take him off the field for any downs. He's an every down player for us.
This warden is a real danger.
I'm going to fix Anchor Bay. Any means necessary.
Coach, it looks like your next question is going to come from Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri Athletics.
Hey, Kalen, are you going to wear the black hoodie of death on the sideline this game with us wearing black jerseys?
Oh, Coach Drink. I gotta fit in somehow. I'm more than likely. We'll see what the forecast is. I kind of know, but I'm expecting that. So it's kind of got its own life of its own right now. So yeah, we're rolling with it.
That's the only question I needed to find out for the day. All right. See ya.
Next will be Colin Gay of the Tuscaloosa News.
Well, to follow that, was wondering, Kalen, about how it seems like your time of possession over the course of the last, say, from last year to this year has taken a significant uptick. I'm curious about, you know, is that just the offense moving the way you want it to? Is that been a point of emphasis in terms of offensive game planning? What have you seen?
Oh, I think it's a combination of things. I think we execute better, so we stay on the field more consistently. I think we have done a better job of being consistent, specifically in the run game, which has, you know, helped us being down in distances. You know, the clock's always moving, and we've done a good job finishing games, you know, with the ball. Drives that take 4, 5, 6, 8 minutes, you know, that's definitely helped the stat itself and the time of possession at the end of the game. But I think there's, you know, we've always run the clock down through just our system of checks and motions and shifts. So we've never been a team and a program that really has an offense where, you know, it's usually on the wrong end of time of possession, unless we really aren't executing well or the defense can't get off the field.
Yeah, and it seems like, I mean, I asked a couple defensive players that, you know, are they prepared for the amount of time that Missouri holds onto the ball? And they said, we're used to it on the practice field. I mean, is that something to... Is there a truth to that? Is there a level of stamina for defenses because of the experience they have against your offense?
Well, I think also the other piece, just going back to your first question, would be that, you know, defense is getting off the field at times, and, you know, that helps with the time of possession too. But, yeah, I think you go through fall camp and the drives that you're seeing in games, I think there was more of those that happened throughout camp, and that happened when we go good on good. You know, we found a lot of ways to really try to put that strain on our guys with longer and longer sessions where there was longer drives. You know, we stacked more plays consecutively, and I think that's helped in paying off right now for us.
Perfect. Thanks, Kalen.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Joseph Van Zimmerman of Missouri on SI.
Hey, Kalen, appreciate the time. I'm just wondering, kind of on that note of the time of possession for Missouri, just what your thoughts have been on their run game and how they've really used that to kind of enforce their playing style and the pace of the game.
Yeah, they clearly have an identity. I think they're very diverse still, though, with the ability to throw the ball. Just haven't had to as much, and that's a credit to what they've done, you know, through the run game. And, you know, they definitely, they're committed to it, and they have the players, and players certainly believe in what they're doing from a schematic standpoint. So, you know, I think they haven't been pushed as hard to have to open things up, you know, from the pass game standpoint, because I'm impressed with what they can do there, you know, quarterback and receivers there too. So, you know, just a well-rounded offense, well-rounded team.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next is Mike Griffith of the AJC.
Coach, with Coach Drinkwitz's lighthearted moment in mind, I wonder, I'm curious, with you coming from outside the SEC, and I know SEC coaches don't have a whole lot of time to hang out and get to know each other, but is Coach Drink one of the guys that you have had the chance to visit with? And I guess I would just ask you your thoughts on him in terms of being the young, promising coach with what he's accomplished.
Yeah, you know, from afar, and I'm throughout my time at different parts of the country, there's been times where you take notice of what he's done at different places, not just as a head coach, but even as an assistant. And so, you know, his success, I mean, it happened over and over at different places. And then, you know, just what he's done now here, building Missouri and the program there to be, again, so consistent with the number of wins you see each year, their style of play, and a place that they, you know, certainly the fan base has a lot of pride in. I think just as far as the relationship piece, I mean, starts with the respect, but then there are times where, you know, you cross paths for different reasons. There's, you know, even Coach Moore, the offense coordinator there, you know, and so there's, you know, there's that history I had. And, you know, when he's trying to hire a coach, you know, there's conversations you have. And happy for his success. You're always rooting for the guys that, you know, do it the right way.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Next is David Eckert of the Austin American Statesman.
Hey, Kalen, appreciate the time today. I was just curious. I mean, it looks like a quarter of your transfer class this offseason was offensive linemen, and that got me thinking, I guess, how easy or difficult is it to find offensive linemen who are capable of playing at Alabama at the level that, you know, you require at that place in the transfer portal? What's that process like?
You're talking about offensive line transfers?
Yes, sir.
So, like, Cam Dewberry in particular.
Yeah, and
I guess Parker came in a year ago. So, I guess there are some guys that have come in, you know, throughout their career here. But I guess you kind of threw me off the question. What is the specific question?
Sorry, just I guess the essence of what I'm asking you is when you go into the transfer portal looking for offensive linemen or defensive linemen or really whatever, I mean, what percentage or how easy is it for you to find guys who are capable of playing at Alabama? I mean, is it tough to kind of go through all of those names? What's that process like?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think a lot of teams give up their best guys, you know, aren't just going to let them go enter the portal. And so I think that's where it starts. I mean, of course, there are some, and, you know, we've picked up a couple guys that I think have done a really nice job helping our program out this year. And, you know, that's going to be the case each and every year. But, yeah, you just really got to understand what you're looking for, what your needs are, and make sure it's a good fit. You know, transfers come in, you know, usually for a reason. They want the opportunity to play. And so it's got to fit where you're at and fit where they're at in their career and what they're looking for.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Next will be Nick Kelly of AL.com.
What if you were prepared for all those interview?
All right, 1 second. Quick commercial break, and we're back.
Hey, Kalen, wanted to ask about rugby balls for the receivers using those in practice. Kind of, what's the purpose behind that, and how does that help them?
It's just something we've done throughout the years, just changing up. You know, I mean, you catch all sizes of and you know, different types of balls, from tennis balls to the, obviously football is really what matters, but, you know, you just change it up, you know, the size of a tennis ball, and, you know, that can help you with certain things and just a focus to, you know, balls that, you know, be heavier and just, you know, hand strength and all that kind of stuff. So there's different reasons. It isn't something new that we just pulled out here this week or the last couple of weeks. It's been something that we've done over many years and, you know, just part of kind of our normal in-season, but especially off-season, you know, ball drill work.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Coach, we'll finish you up with Kennington Smith of the Associated Press.
Hey, Coach DeBoer, hope you're doing well. Wanted to ask you about Caden Proctor and just his growth process since your time being in Alabama. How has he kind of grown into this player that you trust, not only to have a huge responsibility on the offensive line, but also take on other things and other roles in the offense as he's done in the last two games?
Sure. Yeah, I think the first thing was is I gained a lot of trust in him just by how he approached coming back in the first place. He approached it with a lot of humility. And just how he handled it, you could see that work was never an issue for him. He's all about the work. He's all about the grind in the weight room, and you know, he's got that edge to him, you know, on the football field. But you can see, you know, just technically him come along and improve. He's you know, really continued to work on improving his body composition and everything. That's still continuing to happen. It's been a sign of a show of commitment to that. It has led to really good results here, and so I'm certainly proud of how it's coming together for him across the board, from the mental side of things and emotional side, to also just how he's physically continuing to improve, and you know, technically on the football field. And so him and Parker, I think, have really done a great job leading our offensive line, and the other guys you know, have been pushed to continue to improve as well.
And there you have it. That was head coach Kalen DeBoer speaking during his SEC coaches teleconference call that he does weekly. Yesterday, we got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap things up very briefly, and we'll pass along over to Wyatt, who comes up next right after us, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to do keys to victory for the Alabama Crimson Tide against the Missouri Tigers. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. Our professional handicapper from Las Vegas, Bruce Marshall, joins us all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Section today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very pleasant afternoon. The sky partially sunny, the high 79. Mostly clear tonight, the low 59. And the weather stays dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 77 and 80. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back for about 30 seconds or so as we just do a quick outro. Again, it's already that time, but want to again tell you guys, thank you for being patient with us. Again, I'm a little under the weather. Hopefully tomorrow we'll be back rocking and rolling full time, and getting you guys ready for the big matchup this weekend as Alabama travels to Columbia, Missouri to face the undefeated Tigers again at their place, right? Big ranked matchup this weekend. That being said, we will see you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts.